Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here, especially good to see the Tysons. I haven't seen you in a while. This morning, I want to talk to you about what I call flickering focus, fading fire. And it's rekindling zeal in a distracted age. On the third Sunday of the month at our congregation, we have a men's study at 2:30 p.m. We've been studying zeal throughout the year. And they're going to be talking about zeal this afternoon. Next week they'll be talking about zeal. And earlier in the week, we were talking about distractions and screen time with our family. And so I had this on my mind, and I put this together to deal with distractions. One of the things we live in that we can all recognize is we live in a distracting age. And that's nothing new. It's always been distractions in the world, anything that would take our focus from God. But we live in a time and place where we all have one of these. And these things can pose one of the biggest distractions that we've ever known. I want to begin in Titus 2:11-14. Titus 2:11-14 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed." And notice what his purpose was: to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Zealous for good deeds. Now, as we talk about distractions, there's an increasing sentiment among saints, people who claim to be Christians from whatever flavor of faith that they come from. But one of the things that they say, if you look online, there's forums, there's discussion boards, almost everything that they say is we're losing focus and fire. What that means is we're losing our zeal, that we're distracted. There's things that distract us, we're losing our fire. I found three studies, and the sources page is at the end of the outline if you wanted a copy of it, but I'm just going to reference them as we go through. There was a study done by the CDC in just this year in 2025. They said teens with 4+ hours of screen time show higher rates of anxiety, poor sleep, and lack of focus. And so the idea with the CDC here was dealing with young people. But then Harvard in 2019, they were mostly focused on the effects of social media. And yes, their focus was on young people, but they also did a test group of older individuals, and what they found was social media overstimulates the brain's reward system. And later on, when I reference this again, you'll see it's not just social media, it was gaming. Gaming is a big thing. And it can be fun, but it could also be a distraction. Distraction isn't neutral, it's directional. What that means is, if it takes our focus away from God, where is it focusing us? Downward. We look in Colossians 3, we're told our mind is to be focused on heavenly things, not on earthly things. So when we're distracted, it can have a direct correlation to our spiritual focus. Where is our focus? And now this lesson is, even though I referenced this study from the CDC, and we're going to talk about that a little later on, my focus is not against screen time. Screen time is part of it. But all the distractions of the world that we have to deal with, no matter what age we are, there's distractions. When Jesus explained the parable of the sower in Luke 8:11-15, after explaining the seed fell on the wayside, this was the seed that was taken away from them, and so it was people that never obeyed the gospel. He then talks about the rocky soil Christian. This was a Christian that received the word, they had joy in their hearts, but then because of persecution and there was no firm root, they fell away. Right after describing that, he goes and talks about, in verse 14, he talks about the thorny soil Christian. And notice what he says. "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity." That's what Luke 8:14, when Jesus describes that parable of the thorny ground. And so I want you to think about that. The seed that fell on the thorny soil. This is the saint that lets distractions of the world, whether it's screen time or whether it's work things or whatever the distraction is, they let it slowly choke out the word and they become unfruitful. This is not something that happens overnight. This is not even something that a Christian sets out to do. It's just something that because of all the distractions and their mind is here, and it's there, and it's over here, when they should be studying and focusing on heavenly things, their mind is taken off of that. And if your mind is taken off heavenly things, your mind is put on earthly things. It's A or B. There's no option C. Any other option, C, D, E, that man comes up with, it's all B. It's earthly things. And so this doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen all at once. What it happens from is developed habits. And if your habits slowly take you away from studying God's Word, it's going to place worldly and physical things over the spiritual things of God. So as we go through this study, I just want to look at three points that tell us to refocus our hearts towards God, rekindle our zeal for His Word and His will in our lives. Amen. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I think that there's a problem in this room. I have to deal with this. These are things that I deal with. This is an area of improvement that I need. Because of there's so many distractions, there's so many things out there that take our focus. So I like this picture. I actually had AI create it for me. A blurred phone screen with the Bible in clear focus and a flame reminding us to rekindle that zeal. I want to talk about three ways distraction dims our zeal. Distraction displaces devotion. When the schedule crowds out the soul, zeal fades. And I saw this picture and I liked it. Here's a calendar and you notice all the activities every day is filled in through the end of the month, and there's one little, can you see that? No, you can't. It's brighter than my green dot. One little cross there on the 14th. And so they've set aside, out of all this busy calendar, they've set aside one day, and probably not the whole day, but one event or activity on that day for a spiritual thing. And isn't that how life goes sometimes? We schedule and we schedule and we schedule, and we're like, oh, right, I've got to fit in some Bible time. I've got to fit in some study time. And so our schedules end up like that. Screen time displaces life-giving habits. According to the CDC study on teen screen time this year, 2025, the CDC said screen time displaces life-giving habits like sleep, movement, and relational connection. It talks about how teens have this greater feeling of anxiety because they don't know how to talk to real people. They don't know how to interact in a room full of their peers or older or younger, whoever it is. It says screen time displaces these life-giving habits that in older generations were commonplace, common thing of life. I found a story that I wanted to read. This was known as the Fountain Lady. It happened in Pennsylvania in 2011. Kathy Cruz Marrero was walking through a shopping mall while texting and not paying attention. Security cameras caught her wandering right into the edge of a decorative fountain and tumbling in fully clothed. The video went viral worldwide, and she later admitted she didn't even notice she was falling until she hit the water. Distractions. This should have been a life-giving habit of watching where you're walking. And yet screen time, and this was not a teen, this was an older woman. Screen time removed and robbed her of that life-giving habit of watching where you go when you're walking, to where she just went right in. And she later admitted she was so engrossed, she didn't even feel the fall until she hit the water. When worldly distractions crowd our schedule, what that means is they're crowding our soul. We read in Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah once wrote to the nation of Judah, to the kingdom of Judah, to the Israelites there that were in very real danger of losing their land to the Babylonians. God said through the prophet, seek me with all your heart. Seek me with all your heart. But what were the people doing? They were engaged in daily activities. God says to Jeremiah, out of all the calamity I have planned, I have one last second chance for the people. If they will but keep one Sabbath day, I will remove the threat of the Babylonians and I will love them and they will be my people. That to me is an amazing offer. God said that this was not nothing new. This was something that was part of their law, part of their culture. They should have been able to do. And God says if they can just keep one Sabbath. But the people were so distracted with worldly things that they couldn't keep one Sabbath. That Sabbath that God said, make them keep this Sabbath and I will remove the Babylonian threat. Business as usual. Jeremiah pleads with them, shut the gates. Nope, we're letting in all the Gentile traders and we're going to do business in the streets and we're going to have all the things that we like to do. Because God was not their focus. So God pleads with the people, seek me with all your heart. Titus 2, 11 to 14 that we read earlier, he says he wanted to purify for himself a people for his own possession, people who were zealous for good works. It's interesting, if you look at the word zeal, it's very much tied in with our English word eager. In fact, many English versions don't read zealous or zeal, they read eager or eagerness. And the reason for that is it's a word that we're more familiar with. But the Greek word for zeal or eager means a fire. Something that's on fire. There's a hunger. If you think about a fire, think about how hungry that fire is. And we had a great example. The world had a great example of this back in January through February as we all watched LA burn. No matter what the firefighters did, no matter what was happening, that fire was so out of control and in a populated area, people's worst nightmare. It's one thing when it's out in the wilderness and you want to stop it before it hits civilization. Well, this was a fire that reminded the world of how dangerous it is for a fire in a populated area. And the world watched because of social media and the news and round-the-clock video. We all watched L.A. burn. And you think of that fire and how hungry it was, that nothing they did could stop its hunger until it was satisfied and full. That's what zeal is. That's the kind of fire that ought to burn in our souls, that we seek God with everything that we are. Zeal is like a fire. It can burn hot, but then just like that LA fire, when it runs out of fuel to consume, zeal can grow cold just like that. It can burn hot, and it can be snuffed out. The application, zeal requires space. We must intentionally clear room for the things of God and put God in our daily rhythms. And if we don't, we're letting distractions shove those spiritual things out of the way. So the encouragement here as we talk about distraction displaces devotion is rekindle the zeal for reading and spending time in God's Word and in prayer. Set aside those times each day for those things. And going back to our three ways distraction dims our zeal, the second one is dopamine overload dulls desire. According to the Harvard Medical School Screen Time in the Brain, a study done in 2019, it says social media and gaming hijack the brain's reward system, making real-life engagement feel far less satisfying. And so what do they look for? That screen time over real interaction. It says it makes it harder to disengage and refocus. And so they found that the screen time was making their entire life. They didn't want to give it up because it gave them such a high. I wanted to share with you this story. The distracted train operator. This took place in Massachusetts in 2009. A Boston Green Line trolley operator ran a red light and crashed into another trolley, injuring nearly 50 people. Investigators found he had been texting his girlfriend instead of watching the tracks. The crash caused millions in damages and got him fired, and it led Massachusetts to ban texting while operating any vehicle, including trains. They already had one about cars, but then here was a trolley driver, and because he couldn't stay off the screen, he was texting his girlfriend, he was getting that dopamine high, pow, plowed into another trolley. And so we need to be careful about the distractions. It can happen in any real-world situation. So imagine the distractions and what it does to our souls when we crowd out God. Psalm 34:8. God says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So many people in our society today, they can't stay off their screen because of that dopamine pool, that dopamine hit. And God is saying, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." We look in Revelation 3:19 to the church at Laodicea. This was a church that Jesus had nothing good to say. It's the church that made him sick. He says, "I'm going to vomit you out." He said to them in verse 19, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent." He says, "I wish you were cold. I wish you were hot." Cold water has a purpose, hot water has a purpose, but nobody likes lukewarm. He says, "You're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out." It was making him sick. He says, "I wish that you were either cold, I wish you were hot, but you're none of those things." And so
You're worthless. He says, be zealous and repent.
What he's saying is, get a fire under you. Rekindle that flame and repent.
Do what is right, or else I'm going to remove your lampstand. Be zealous is a call to rekindle desire and reject spiritual numbness. That's what Jesus was calling on the church at Laodicea to do.
They didn't have screens. But you think of the distractions that they had. Everyday life, the temptations of everyday life just lulled them into a compromise with the world that they didn't look any different than the world around them. So Jesus is saying, I wish you were cold. I wish you were hot. Cold water has a purpose. Hot water has a purpose. Nobody likes lukewarm. And that's what you are.
So he said, you need to be zealous and repent. The application, zeal grows when our gaze is steady. Or I'm sorry, let me go back. We're going to talk about that in a second. We must retrain our hearts to find joy in God's presence.
It's so easy to find joy in all the distractions. Our mind can be taken here, our eyes see that, and our eyes see this, and we want to engage in all of these things. Zeal is a cultivated hunger. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
When you think about it again, that zeal like a roaring fire. It's going to consume until there's nothing left to consume. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Zeal is a cultivated hunger. We must retrain our hearts to find joy in God's presence, not just in fleeting pleasures. And there's things in life that we're told to enjoy. The book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon chased after work and accomplishment, trying to find the purpose in life, the meaning of life. And he said, it's vanity of vanities. However, he said, if we are content with our wages, if we look at our jobs as a gift from God, then we'll recognize that spending time with our family and doing things and enjoying the money that we make, he said, these things are blessings from God. They're gifts of God. Solomon said, this is what God wanted for us. We're to enjoy our life. So that enjoying life, even screen time, isn't necessarily sin. It's how we use it. And if we are completely consumed by all the distractions down here and not focused up here, well, then it becomes sin. So zeal is a cultivated hunger, and we need to direct it the right way. So rekindle your zeal and desire for spiritual things and draw closer to God. Going back to the three ways distraction dims our zeal, fragmented focus fractures faith. According to the third study that I found, this is from the American Academy of Pediatrics, and this was done this year, and it was screen time effects, and this was not just on young people, but anyone that I don't remember the age range, but there was a large group of people that were part of this article. What they said was screen saturation correlates with anxiety, depression, and poor peer support. Conditions erode emotional resilience and focus.
So they said that this particular distraction of screen time, and again, this lesson isn't just geared towards that, but any distraction, but they said for these people that they screened, pun intended, screen saturation brought anxiety, it brought depression, it brought poor peer support, because they're not looking to their peers, they're not looking around the room, they're looking down. They're getting that dopamine high again from whatever's on the screen, whether it's texting, whether it's games, whatever. And so it said that these are conditions that erode emotional resilience and focus. And so they find that they have a hard time refocusing. Once the screen is removed, once these other distractions are removed, they have a hard time refocusing. And how many of us can relate to that? We get that, right? If you spend time, I know for me, again, this lesson is for me. Sometimes I sit there and I realize, how much time did I just waste scrolling through Facebook? Come on. You know, there's other things I could be doing. So fragmented focus fractures faith. When the mind scatters, the heart follows. I want to tell you one last story. The crocodile plane crash. This took place over the Republic of Congo in 2010. A small passenger plane was flying to Bandundu province when one passenger brought a live crocodile on board, hidden in a sports bag. The plan was to sell it at his destination. Mid-flight, the passenger tried to sneak it out to show someone, but the crocodile got loose in the aisle.
People panicked. In the chaos, everyone rushed to one side of the aircraft to get away from it. The sudden shift in the plane threw the small plane off balance and caused it to crash near the runway. They were that close to landing. Tragically, 20 people died. Only one passenger survived, plus the crocodile, who the rescuers put to death. The distracting factor? A bunch of grown adults, including the pilots, stopped paying attention to flying and basic safety because all eyes were on a reptile at 5,000 feet in the air. It sounds like the setup to a joke. A crocodile walks into a plane. But it became a textbook example in aviation safety of how distraction can literally bring you down. All those people on board.
And what happened?
Their minds were scattered. They were not focused on all the rules that they knew. Those pilots who should have known better, probably trained better than that. And yet one distraction, all eyes were on that one distraction, and safety went out the window, and that plane crashed right near the runway, almost down on the ground. We're told in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, fix your eyes on Jesus. We're told that he is the author and perfecter of faith, that he endured the cross, despising the shame, so that we would not grow weary and lose heart. I want you to think about the distractions that Jesus had to let go of. There was no screen time then. But Jesus, we're told in Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 4, that he was tempted as we are, as all men are, and yet without sin. I want to think of just some of the distractions and temptations that would have surrounded Jesus, especially on his way to the cross. You had one of his apostles, a close friend in his inner circle of three, Peter, saying, as Jesus, we're told, he said plainly to them what was about to happen to him. And you have Peter saying, oh no, Lord, that'll never happen. And the temptation is to say, oh yeah, you're right. I don't have to go through that. I'm God. And yet he says, get behind me, Satan. And then later that same apostle, as Jesus is being arrested, pulls a sword to ensure that it doesn't happen. And he actually takes a strike at one of the men. And Jesus, we know, heals the man and says, put it away. But notice the other temptation there. Jesus says, I have at my disposal, or I have at my command 12 legions of angels. Knowing that he didn't have to go through what he was about to go through because he had that much power at his command. And yet, he didn't let that distract him from the mission that God sent him. And then after he's on the cross, you have the temptation of the people down there at the foot of the cross saying, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Come down from the cross and we'll believe in you. Can you even imagine that temptation, the pain that he's in, and the temptation of hearing them cry out, all you have to do is come down and we'll believe in you. Yet, he focused his eyes heavenward. And he completed the mission because he was not distracted by all that noise. We're told by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12:2, when we're distracted, when we're tempted by all the noise and all the distractions of the world, fix your eyes on Jesus. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, and he did it so that we don't grow weary and lose heart. We're told in Colossians 3:1-3, it's to set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. And it goes on to tell us that fix your eyes on Jesus seated at the right hand of God. That's our focus. That's where our zeal ought to be, is to be pleasing to Jesus, to look to him. The application is zeal grows when our gaze is steady. We must learn to fix our eyes on Jesus amidst the noise. And remember that Jesus had that same noise. All those distractions, all those temptations. It wasn't just the wilderness temptations. He tried to get him through his friends. He tells Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking of man's interests, not God's. That was a temptation for him. Because Peter's saying, oh no, Lord, that'll never happen. The temptation on the cross. Come down from there, we'll believe in you. And yet he knew better, didn't he? He told the story that they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Even if one were to return from the dead, they would still not believe. If they reject Moses and the prophets, they'll reject the one coming back from the dead. And then Jesus saw it in his own lifetime. He raised Lazarus, John 11, John chapter 12, the early passages. They said Lazarus is a walking billboard to believe in Jesus. We not only have to kill Jesus, we have to put Lazarus back in the tomb. They didn't believe. So Jesus saw all through the noise. He saw all through the distractions. And we're told to fix our eyes on him. So rekindle your zeal.
Focus your eyes on Jesus. He saw past the earthly to the heavenly joys. That's what the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 12:1-3, that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Distraction is eroding our ability to focus, and it dims zeal. Whatever the distraction is, it's not just about this. Like I said, this lesson is not just about screen time. I just happen to find those three lessons on it and its effect. But think of the distractions that have always been around, just the distractions of everyday life. It dims our zeal. Scripture is clear. Zeal for God is essential. In Mark 12:30, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." What of our being does that leave out? I'll give Jesus some of it, most of it, but then I want to spend the rest of the time on whatever distraction I feel. No, he says, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's tough. That's a difficult command to follow because we live in a distracted age. But we could easily go back and look at any time period and see the distractions there and why only a few chose to follow Jesus no matter what the time period was, no matter what the technology was. Because technology is not that's not the end-all thing. It's the heart. It's where we want to spend our time. And if it's not with God, it's going to be on physical things. That kind of love that Jesus is talking about is the kind that demands our attention. It demands our intention, and it demands our intensity. Again, zeal is like that roaring fire. So let us not be lukewarm in a world that numbs us, but let us be like the psalmist who cried, "My soul clings to you," in Psalm 63:8. Let's be like the Apostle Paul who said to Timothy, "Kindle afresh the gift of God that is in you," in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. Today, as we look at a lesson designed to rekindle our zeal, to get us around all the noise and the clutter, choose to refocus, clear the clutter, be zealous, and rekindle the flame. And this morning, you know, I know that everyone here is a Christian, so I'll just skip to the bottom part. If you are a Christian, and there's things in your life that need to be removed, that need to be cleared up, now's the time to do it, to repent, confess, and pray, and my encouragement is to be zealous, to rekindle that flame, and have that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Thank you.